This is The Huddle.
It's not this. This is what we do.
Every Thursday from noon to 2. The Huddle.
Welcome back to The Huddle with Tom Wassel, Dave Wyman, Jake Peeps, and Stacey Ross. Joining us right now, it's the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel. Rabes, how are you?
Stacey, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks. I'm going to get kind of the tough conversation out of the way first. I do want your insight. I'm hoping you can help me feel a little bit better about this defense. Help me out, Rabes. I know they're getting reinforcements. I mean, what's your take so far? Where are they at right now with you?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not breaking any new any new ground here. They've got the Seahawks have a wonderfully diverse, potent, explosive offense, and a defense that is still literally trying to find its way. I think they understand in many cases what it is that they have to do and need to do, and what each individual player has to do. They're just not doing it as a group. And as we often talk about, if it was one thing, if it was one player who was consistently over time making mistakes, then you can remedy that. If it's kind of the system, or you're trying to do too many things, you can relax a little bit of that and cut the game plan down. But it's a combination of things. It seems like every series, it's something else. It's somebody not holding their lane. It's somebody not getting the pressure upfield. It's somebody not handing off properly in coverage. And you know, this is a group of guys, some of whom have played together for a while, and a fairly large number of them haven't. And they're just getting used to each other. So, I mean, that's kind of my take on it right now. Is this a bad football team? Absolutely not. We're at the top of the division right now and playing a team that is coming back from a lot of injuries, while we're kind of in the throes of some injuries. So it should be a pretty good contest that way.
Rabes, it's interesting in these division games because, you know, there's kind of a little back and forth, and you see sometimes other teams have another team's number, and the Seahawks, I thought, had San Francisco's number last year, and I feel like they match up really well. What kind of a game? I sound like Groz. What kind of a game are you expecting? But I mean, again, look, it's. I feel like no matter what, this can't help but be an incredibly tight game. It's going to come down to it in the end, I feel like.
Well, it seems that way. Now, whether it's going to be a 38-36 game or whether it's going to be an 18-15 game is, you know, remains to be seen. I certainly like our chances. I think being at home, I think after what happened last week, I think there's a lot of the guys on the defense who are just really kind of looking really inside at themselves and saying, what more could I have done? You heard it right after the game from Bobby. But each one of those guys, and coaches, and Pete, because this defense is Pete's defense. I see where there's a lot of clamoring for, well, should you do something about Ken Norton Jr.? Well, this is Pete's defense, and
right.
He recognized that. I frankly think it's going to be, this is my own feeling here, and I know nothing, as you know, but I think Seahawks are going to win, and I think they're going to win kind of going away. I think this will be one of the games that they have, they put everything together. And I don't say that for having any real knowledge other than the fact that San Francisco's been kind of up and down. They've got a lot of guys who are hurt. Garoppolo is, you know, still coming back off of that ankle injury, and he's probably not playing at 100%. He's not a terribly mobile quarterback anyway. If ever the defense is going to get well and put some pressure on the quarterback, I think this is going to be it. I see a couple of big things that you got to do on defense if you want to stop San Francisco, and one of them is find a way to shut down George Kittle or at least control him a little bit. But I like our chances a lot this week.
Rabel, as you mentioned that, it's also the feeling that I had against the Arizona Cardinals for the Seahawks, that there is a little bit of, you know, schedule-wise and also just kind of where they're at as a ball club, that they play up and down. And I think that manifested itself in the game last week. The only difference was is the Seahawks didn't finish the game. We're
right.
Accustomed to seeing them finish. And, I mean, with what you know about Pete Carroll and this organization and what how long you've been around them, I mean, do you anticipate seeing this group not finish again, Russell Wilson not finish again at the end of the game?
I don't, and I attribute now some of that, and Pete did too, but I attribute some of that when you start looking at what Arizona did, especially at the end of that game in the fourth quarter and in overtime. There were times when they get up to the line of scrimmage and I was trying to set the call for the play, And, you know, you've heard me enough to know, Jake, I try to set it, okay, you know, it looks like a four-man rush or four down linemen or whatever. It looked like they had 13 guys at the line of scrimmage at times. And then they would pull out randomly, and it left guys looking around like, okay, who is it that I'm supposed to block here? And it really hurt, I think, DJ Dallas a couple of times back there. And Russ, I think, was feeling that a lot at the end of the game. I don't think we're going to see that out of San Francisco, mostly because I don't think they have the same kind of personnel. Now, will we see Fred Warner blitz from his middle linebacker spot? Yeah. Are some of those defensive linemen pretty darn good? Yeah, no question. But, we could be facing two backup safeties and a backup corner, you know, the way these guys have been hurt. So I like Russell's ability to win football games. What is he, 31-8 after an in-season loss? I hate to be the team that has to face Russell Wilson and company after they get beat.
Raves, that play that DK Metcalf made on the Buda Baker pick was one of the best plays I've ever seen made in any sport. I mean, it was just inspiring, even beyond football, I thought.
Yeah.
Now, if you see something like that and you're on DK Metcalf's team, what kind of effect does that have on his teammates in terms of, like, I guess, inspiration?
On DK's teammates?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're a teammate, you already have a pretty good idea of who that guy is because you see him every day. You see him in the locker room. You see him in the meeting room studying. You understand how seriously he takes the game and how much he wants to be, I don't want to say a star, because there's a difference between being a star and being the best. And oftentimes it goes hand in hand, but there is a difference. And he wants to be the best. And he knows the things he needs to work on, and he knows the things that he's good at, and one of the things he knows he can do is run, and he is relentless. And that chasing down Buda Baker was one of the most unbelievable plays I know I've ever seen. And I know when I called it, I said, it looks like he's gone unless DK Metcalf can chase him down, and sure enough, he did. It was just stunning. I played with a lot of really good receivers. I've watched a bunch of them over time, and a lot of guys would have just given up on that and said, okay, we'll give it to him at 6 points. You know, there was a 13-point swing there, 14-point swing. The touchdown and PAT they didn't get, and the one that we did get by going 97 yards. I think that says so much about that team, frankly, but about DK in particular.
He is the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel. Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Guys, I do it every week. I mean to say Rabes, thanks so much, and I say Steve. I say it every single Thursday. Constantly messing this up, dropping the ball. Gosh.
Well, his name is Steve.
I know, but I don't call him Steve. I'm like, who's Steve? The second I say Steve, I'm like, who am I even talking to? Who are you, Stacy? Gosh. All right, guys. We're taking you down to San Francisco with the latest from the 49ers. Head coach Kyle Shanahan speaking to media. That's next on The Huddle.
This is The Huddle, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, Tom Wassel, and Stacey Ross. Kyle Shanahan spoke with reporters earlier today, had some updates on injuries, players that we may or may not see for San Francisco this Sunday. So let's go ahead and get things started with former Seahawk Richard Sherman. Cut number 3 here. What's his status for Sunday?
Not sure. I mean, he's week to week right now. I know it's going to be at least a few weeks, but I know he's not playing this week.
So, rules out Richard Sherman, at least, for this Sunday in that secondary. That secondary, though, Dave, I'm looking at it. I know you're a fan of seeing Jamar Taylor out there.
No.
I don't want to say fan. Jamar Taylor playing really well at nickel for them, which upsets you.
That bothers me.
That secondary, though, still pretty solid. You had a couple guys as an injury update. Jaquiski Tartt, Jason Verrett, Jimmy Ward were all do not practice Wednesday. Still, though, I mean, overall, assuming these guys can play, they're mostly healthy back there except for Sherman.
Yeah, this is the hardest injury report, I think. How did the Seahawks practice yesterday, first
no
of
clue.
All? They had one running back. And then, with the Niners, like D Ford is out, Bosa is out, Mostert is out, I believe. I mean, there's so many guys to keep track of. But again, you know, they just kind of plug guys in and they make plays. I'll say this, and Jake, I'll ask you. I saw Cam Newton throw some of the worst passes I've seen a pro football player throw last week.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was something with the ball was like tailing down or something, but he was horrible. And so, but yeah, it does bother me that Jamar Taylor.
I can tell.
It got a couple of picks because he was a nice guy, loved him, everything, but just it did not work out. And he was always like just a step behind everybody, and he ends up getting two picks. One of them was tipped up in the air, yeah. But the other one was a good play by him. But again, it was a horrible pass by Jarrett Stidham. So, but yeah, that again, this is a group that you know they just next man up. They're well coached, and so yeah, we'll see what we get. But they're pretty banged up, and you know, in the beginning, it looked like. Oh, my gosh. I mean, Garoppolo went down, and I want to say Coleman went down. I mean, that one Jets game, it was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. And that's why, you know, as I was telling Rabel in the last segment there, you know, as I looked at Arizona last week, I just really felt that they were a good team, but that they were inconsistent and up and down and not necessarily that team that is as strong as everybody thinks they are. Now, don't get me wrong, they won the game. But if you look at it, multiple times the Seahawks had opportunities to control the game, slam the door shut, and be the more superior team, right? And they just kept blowing opportunities. And I think that is also going to be the mark for this game with the 49ers. The Seahawks have a chance, offensively at least, to control the game. You look at the 49ers and when they played the Patriots, Cam Newton looks like his shoulder is already gone. Like that maybe he was able to keep it together for the first, you know, 4 weeks of the season, and now his health is really coming back again, because you mentioned some of those throws, Dave. I mean, those are really the only explanations for him, because mechanically he looked fine, just his shoulder doesn't seem like it's holding up from what I can see and what I can evaluate after watching that game and that film. So I think that any team, especially the 49ers, they haven't seen an offense like the Seahawks yet. And that just is a compliment to what the Seahawks group is. And we'll see if they're able to have any semblance of controlling the game if the defense can get these guys off the field or get a couple key turnovers, because Jimmy Garoppolo is going to give them opportunities to do so.
Now, there was a while there when we thought the 49ers might be done. They'd suffered a ton of injuries and then had a devastating, embarrassing loss to the Miami Dolphins, a team the Seahawks beat, I think, just a week or two before then. Kyle Shanahan, in cut number six, though, talks about the improvement he's seen from his team since.
You know, I think just playing hard, rallying together. I mean, we had two real bad losses in a row. One, you know, I thought that got away from us, and one we got embarrassed in. And usually you go one way or another after that, and our guys came in and regrouped, had a great week of practice, and just focused on trying to get better and play hard as a team. And I thought we did that 2 weeks in a row, and the results have been good because of it.
Tom, you, like many of us, I think, were ready to say, like, hey, 49ers are done. They're done. They're finished. Finito.
Stick a fork in them.
Instead, though, they've seemed to bounce back. Back-to-back wins, looking real good, getting healthier. Tevin Coleman could be back here. I mean, what are you seeing from them?
Yeah, look, here's the confusing part. I don't, even with the extra playoff spot, I don't think every team in this division is going to make the playoffs. And it still feels to me like San Francisco is going to be the odd team out just because of the number of injuries they have. Every team is good. It feels like they're going to come up short in the end. Problem being, every team that they face, they are just going to give fits to, because they are a well-coached, prepared, tough, tough team to beat. Like, they may not have enough firepower in the end because they just – I think they're lacking elite quarterback play. And you just have to have that. If you're going to get far, if you're going to separate yourself in any way from the rest of the pack, you have to have elite quarterback play. I don't think they have it. They got 18 running backs. The wide receiving situation, you know, Samuel's always – he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. So I think they'll come up short. But, man, I don't ever want to face them, do you?
No, it's again, the coaching part of it is what stands out to me. It's just how they execute. And, you know, a guy right. like Kyle Juszczyk, their fullback, who doesn't have a lot of yards or anything, but he's so key. Him, and then their offensive line's playing really well too. But do you guys believe in matchups? Because, you know, I thought the Seahawks.
I thought you were going to say miracles.
Do you believe in miracles? Yeah, Michael. No, because, for example, I remember we go and play in Green Bay in the postseason last year, and the one team that like gave them fits was the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
And they actually did not lead in any of those games until time expired. They kicked game-winning field goals to beat. And I want to say the – you know, last year the Lions were like 3-12-1 or something like that. So and the Seahawks just look, they were 1 foot away from winning the second game and winning the NFC West. So they just have a tendency, even as well as they are coached and everything. And Rabel thinks they're, you know, you heard him. He said they're going to win going away. And I'm like, wow, that's a bold prediction. I think the Seahawks will be able to win just because they match up well against the 49ers, but and the coaching styles and everything. But you know, I feel like it's going to be another tight game.
They certainly haven't been. They haven't not played a tight game so far, other than the Miami Dolphins game, and still that one had you on the edge of your seat. But you talk about coaching, and it really is a tip of the cap to the 49ers in this one, because as much as we talked about the Seahawks and injuries and, hey, maybe they get their guys back and we'll be able to see this group play well once they get their guys back, and that might be true. That may be true. But what the 49ers have been able to do defensively, despite having so many of their key defensive players out. I mean, three defensive linemen on IR, four from the secondary, and they've been able to still play really good football. It's very, very impressive what they've been able to do and what they've been able to maintain and kind of weather the storm as they figure it out.
And we won't go to the cuts here, but just some injury updates on the 49ers side of things for you guys. Shanahan optimistic that running back Tevin Coleman will be back this week. They could be short running back Jeff Wilson Jr., who had maybe the best game of his career in a win over the Pats last week. Could also be without wide receiver Deebo Samuel, who has a hamstring injury.
So, huge.
So two players to keep an eye on. Both were huge factors for this team in a game last week. But again, Tevin Coleman could certainly be a factor this week. They also have Jamichael Hasty, who's like their backup running back. He actually had some pretty good plays too. So some names to keep an eye on, but the 49ers also pretty banged up heading into this Sunday's game. All right. Coming up next, are the 49ers still the Seahawks' biggest rival? We're looking at still a really tough NFC West, but one with some shifting rivalries and powers. So we're going to get to that next in The Huddle.
This is The Huddle, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back into The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. We're going to be joined in just a couple minutes by Shaquem Griffin and Ryan Neal, both having great moments on defense for the Seahawks, kind of coming up at a time when Seattle really, really needs the help. But before we get to that, it's the 49ers this Sunday. We've got to ask ourselves about this rivalry once again. Dave, is this still very much the Seahawks' biggest rival?
I don't think so. I think it's the Rams.
Ooh.
I think the Rams.
Dave, I agree with you, by the way.
Yeah, I feel like, and I felt like going into the season that everybody was counting them out and they were going to put Arizona ahead of them. I think the Rams have always been a problem for the Seahawks. And remember last year, there was if they hadn't missed that kick at the end, they would have swept them. And they took care of them pretty handily down in L.A., took care of the Seahawks, that is. So I feel like as far as matchups go, I mean, the 49er thing, that goes back to Legion of Boom and all that. But I haven't felt like, once they got really bad, it became the Rams. And I thought kind of at the height of it was when Justin Britt hit Aaron Donald out by where the cheerleaders stand. I loved that. And they got into a little bit of a fight afterwards. And I remember Britt getting on the plane. And, and he was mumbling something, and I asked him about it, and he goes, I'm going to punch him right in his fat gut. is what he said about Aaron Donald. So, you know, taking
Aaron
that
Donald,
on.
Top of a list of people I would never want to get never into a fight mess with. That's the thing.
Well, also, doesn't have a fat gut. It's pretty ripped up.
Weirdly in shape for a defensive tackle.
Maybe
at
the time. Maybe at the time he had one. But Britt, remember, he was like a state champion heavyweight wrestler.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure Britt wanted to wrestle him.
Don't mess with the wrestlers.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Absolutely not.
Those are the guys that can twist you into a knot. But
you make
anyway.
A good point, though. I mean, it's hard to look at the 49ers as just an ongoing rival with the Seahawks when they were sitting at the bottom of the division for almost 5 years in a row. Jake, what do you think?
Well, I think if you don't understand just absolute pettiness, then you don't understand rivalries, because it doesn't matter who is on top, who is at the bottom. You're still always going to hold on to that rivalry. The other side of it, though, is that there's moments that it gets revived, right? And over the last couple years, and you know, last year and this year, I think that rivalry gets revived, and you it takes on a different, you know, frame. It takes on, you know, with different players, but it still lingers and it's still there. I mean, you know, you could look onto, you know, my Twitter, and today I reposted a post from Parker Lewis Jr., who had a highlight of Russell Wilson's every touchdown pass against the 49ers, and encouraged every Seahawk fan to retweet it to bless the 49ers timeline on their Twitter. So, you know, it's those opportunities, it's those digs that you live for, and that's what makes sports great.
Yeah, there seems to be, for whatever reason, more trash talk going back and forth between Niner fans and Seahawk fans. Like, we have a handful of people on Twitter or texting the show that are definitively Niner fans just trolling us. We never get Ram fans doing that, and the Cardinals fans that talk to us are usually pretty polite about it. So that's what.
Yeah, but half of Rams fans are still figuring out that there's a football team in LA. Like, they're just learning the basics right now. You know what I mean? They're getting it settled. They've got to learn what a field goal is and everything before they try to come at us with any insults.
Well, the Arizona fans, all the Arizona fans do is sell their tickets to Seahawks.
Gross.
That's exactly what it is. All right, you guys. We are going to be joined by two very fun Seahawks guests next. We have Shaquem Griffin and Ryan Neal. That's next on The Huddle.
A huddle every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome into The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. We're going to be joined here in just a moment by Shaquem Griffin and Ryan Neal. You guys, I'm glad that we're joined by these two guys, not just because both are wonderful interviews, both have been on the 710 airwaves before, but because for all of the negative things that we'll say about this defense, there have been so many strong individual performances, whether it's in individual moments like Ryan Neal with an interception in back-to-back games coming right off the bench, just a fantastic performance by him, or if it's Shaquem Griffin with his own moments trying to get to the passer, an opportunity there to help the pass rush. I mean, there have been moments, Dave, where you've thought, wow, that was a really cool individual performance from that player.
Yeah, and you know, and watching Bobby blitz the quarterback, I think he's one of the best at that. KJ Wright getting his hand on, what, four passes in two games and getting a pick. I mean, yeah, so there has been that. But, you know, and that's the thing that sometimes on our show when we talk about the defense, it's like, well, you can't really talk about the defense because they're bad. I disagree. I mean, they're still making some plays. I mean, Benson Mayoa with his, you know, fourth down stops in Atlanta and then the stop against Minnesota and some of the plays that he's made. There's been a lot of really good, inspiring performances. They're just not playing together, you know, as well as they should be. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I think that, too, you know, what you've seen is that even, you know, Jamal Adams not having been here for a couple weeks, I'm curious to know what this secondary looks like when they're totally healthy, because he also had some standout moments, Jake.
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yep. We got you now.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I think when we're looking at that group and you're talking about those individual performances, Dave, the reason why injuries keep getting brought up and Pete keeps saying, I think we're going to get better, is because you look at a guy like Benson Mayoa. Benson Mayoa the best he has played is when he plays in that sweet spot of 20 to 30% of the snaps. And he is playing such a high percentage of snaps right now. And so I think that his effort, I actually applaud it because he's doing something that is outside of his comfort zone and doing it pretty well. You add a guy like Carlos Dunlap, you know, next week, and now you've got those two guys playing at a decent, healthy percentage of snaps, not one guy's being asked to do too much. You add Snacks Harrison, it helps Jaron Reed and Puna Ford out. How much can that help this group defensively? Because it's such a different aspect than offense, where offense, you want to get more in a rhythm, you want to be in the game more, whereas defensively, sometimes it's about, can you stay fresh?
Yeah, it's a good point you bring up because I remember Jaron Reed early on, too, was playing like 80% of the snaps. So you've got to get those guys in and out of the field. I think I brought this up earlier. Do they have the talent? And let's talk to Shaquem.
Yeah, let's bring Shaquem on right now. Shaquem, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, good. We're joined right now by Shaquem Griffin. Shaquem, I'm curious, what were the conversations like between defensive players heading out of this loss and into next week? I mean, was there any kind of new conversation that happened? I mean, how have you guys kind of tried to stir up some inspiration for a comeback win against the 49ers?
It was just all about mindset. I feel like the main thing that we took away from this game is that we can't beat up ourselves and end up carrying it to the next week. It's like, what do we need to do? How can we fix it and then fix it immediately? And I think this week coming in, everybody had a different mindset coming in as far as like being dialed in, you know, being serious, making sure that they tune in to their kids, because obviously there's a lot of things and a lot of mistakes that we made that can beat ourselves, and if we continue to make the same mistakes, that we won't get better. So the whole mindset is, let's fix the little things, you know, let's focus on the small things and get those dialed in so we don't have to worry about it later on in the season. So we had a lot of guys who stepped up, you know, Bobby came and talked to us, KJ, my brother, they all stepped up and, you know, spoke out. And a lot of things that some people didn't want to hear had to hear. And I feel like that was the turning point for us to know that, you know what, we're going to hold each other accountable and make sure we fix everything we need to start winning again.
Yeah, tell us about those conversations. Do you guys have, like, player-only meetings, Shaquem? Or where do those kinds of sort of come to Jesus, if you will, talks happen?
It happens in our defensive meetings most of the time when we get together, and all the coaches be there too. So it's not like just player led, but it's everybody. You know, it's not only just for the players, it's for the coaches, for everyone to hear. You know, we all in this together. It's all one. And, you know, we never want to leave the coaches out, because sometimes they got to hear a few things that we were feeling a certain way. And, you know, that I feel like that's what kind of brought us closer together, is we able to hold everybody accountable. And, you know, being able to communicate with your coaches in that way makes a closer team. And I feel like this team this year is taking full accountability, not just players-wise, but coaches too.
Shaquem, I know that some of the conversation also with Pete Carroll is, you know, don't do too much, right? Don't try and do something that's not a part of your job, or, you know, that you need to do something extra, either in the big moments, the big rivalry games, or even when you're struggling. How much of a relief is that to just realize that, hey, I don't need to do too much other than just do my job to the best of my ability and just really focus and dial in on that?
I mean, that's like the most important thing, because when you don't have that sense of weight on your back to be able to go out there, it always feels good. So when you just know what you're doing, you know your keys, you know what you need to look at, you know what to do the right things, and you know your plays, the only thing you do is play football. You know, it don't matter what type of game it is or who you're playing. It's, at the end of the day, it's still the same game, and it's football. You got to make your plays, you got to win your matchups, and you just got to win out there. And that's the most important thing. So with Pete being able to remind us of that, it's amazing, because you got a lot of coaches who will hype up a Sunday night game, or will hype up a Thursday night or a Monday night game, and then you'll have everybody so hyped up that they end up making stuff up and doing extra, just trying to make a play instead of just doing what you've been coached, doing what you've been working on the entire week or just the entire season. You know, just stay you, be you, learn your stuff, and do it right.
Now, you played 48% of the defensive snaps the other night, and I know you play special teams too, but when you're there on the sidelines, and say sometimes they don't use you until later in the game, are you just like chomping at the bit to get in there? Like, oh, like I know exactly what I'm going to do when I get in there. Is it tough to watch from the sidelines, and how much of a relief is it to finally be in there?
I mean, it's a big relief. And I think for me, it's just make sure I stay dialed in. You know, I want to be able to get out there and try to make things shake as much as possible. I want to try to help and contribute. So my whole thing is when I'm on the sideline, I stay dialed in. I look at the guys that's out there. I look at what's going on. For when I get a chance to get out there, I won't be lost. And for me to be able to do that, I mean, it helps out a lot because the more I do, the more I play. So stay dialed into everything that's going on and being able to understand my role. And when I get a chance to go out there, just make plays. Or it's just trying to make something happen, something splash when I get a chance to.
All right. He is Shakeem Griffin. Shakeem, thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
That's no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to be joined here in just a moment.
I asked him one time who was nicer, him or Shaquille. He said, I'm nicer.
I think it might be true. It's close.
It's a tough call.
It is close. They are both just exceptionally nice, kind. I was almost going to say kids.
Yeah. I could call them kids.
Do you think they ever just allow one to be better at something than the other? Because I don't think that's the case. They compete in everything. Like, who's nicer? Who runs faster? Who's better looking? Who's the better actor? I mean, like, whatever
I can't imagine. Can't be easy either. Let's probably, like, who can eat more?
even eating contests, huh?
Can't get away from it.
Well, yeah. And I was going to ask him, but I wonder if because of the pandemic, do they... Because I think they room together on the road. I mean, they're always together. I always see them together. So it's interesting with twins, you know. And I know Jim has twins, and, you know, sometimes they're not as tight. And these two are really tight. Yeah, you see them together all the time. And just a pleasure to have both of those guys on this team.
We're going to be joined by Ryan Neal here in just one moment. You know, it was interesting. He said that Shakeem, when he joined us, there were some tough conversations, some things maybe no one wanted to hear. What do you think those were?
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, because he mentioned that the coaches were there too. And that's it used to be that the players would kick the coaches out of the room and say, hey, we need to come together. We need to. And sometimes you would have the wrong people that would get up and lead it.
Yes,
and,
that's
yeah.
Jake can confirm.
And guys would just scream and yell. I remember Jacob Green did one time, and Jacob said something about how, I'm going to get 3 sacks this weekend, and I was sitting there going, yeah, sure you are. He went and got 4, I think. So, I mean, that's sometimes you see Jacob Green was a great leader, mm-hmm. great leader, one of the best. So every once in a while you see that. But it's interesting that the coaches were there too, and – you know, I don't know how much of it was, you know, a little bit of criticism of them, but who knows.
And joining us right now is Ryan Neal. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How you guys doing?
Good, good. I mean, I have to ask you the obvious questions here, which are just tell us how you've been feeling these past few weeks. I mean, you burst onto the scene, thrown into a game last minute. You get called up 24 hours before. You seal the win with an interception, get an interception in the following contest. And, by the way, I got to say, you really impressed a lot of people here at 710 with a separate play. Your hit on a run by Myles Gaskin just blew up that run. It was fantastic. I mean, how are you feeling right now?
Well, right now I'm just feeling like, I mean, you know, it's all exciting, you know. It's really a blessing. I'm grateful for it all. Been a long road, and, you know, I'm just taking it one day at a time, one week at a time, and just focused on being even better than the week before, improving week by week, you know, just making sure that my brothers on the field know that I'm accountable and responsible, and that they can count on me whenever they need me, no matter where it is, no matter what time, when my name is called, they know that they can rely on me. So that's just kind of where I'm at with it all right now.
Man, you sound like a good teammate. That's good stuff, man. Hey, how many plays between – did anybody count this? How many plays between interceptions? Because at the end of the Dallas game,
like three.
And yeah, what was that, like maybe 4 or 5
yeah.
later? But as Stacey mentioned, you got an interception in that game against Miami, and then you had the huge hit.
What's better?
Which one's better?
Definitely the interception. Game changing. I mean, that's what you live for on defense, man. I mean, you live for the big hits, but at the end of the day, it's about that ball. You know, we preach about it every day, and that's something that, you want more of those. That feeling compared to a big hit feeling, it, to me, is not the same. That interception, you know, when you get those, it changes the game, man. It takes the air out of the other team, and you get all your guys on, you know, get everybody going, and the offense gets even more excited because now they're trying to go ahead and finish the deal, you know, seal the deal, you know, get a pick, let's go score, you know what I'm saying? So that the interception feeling definitely overrides the big hit for me.
Ryan, you know, it's really fun seeing you have these opportunities because I myself was kind of a fringe player in the league, you know, trying to make a roster. You get these opportunities. How much are you able to enjoy all of this and have a different perspective than maybe some of these guys who have been drafted, been put in these positions right from the get-go, and you have had, you know, to go through cuts, to go through different organizations and you know, kind of go through this road?
Man, it's really, it just, when I look back at it all, it's just, it astonishes me when I just see how the story's unfolding. Because like I said, man, like you said, it's, you come from, you know, the undrafted, and you get cut, and you go from team to team, and a lot of people, you know, they turn it in. I almost turned it in, just like, man, is this game really meant? You know what I mean? Am I that? Am I as good as I thought I was? You know, it gets all those questions, but
you get the question of what are you going to do next, right?
Yeah, what are you going to do next? And that definitely pops up, and it's just like, man, you know, I mean, it's hard, it's tough, but at the end of the day, like I said before, you got to come back, man. You got to come back because one thing I do know is if you quit, then you will never know what could have been. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't quit, you'll eventually find out. And so that's just kind of how I've been taking it day by day, just keep going back at it. And, you know, even when I was on practice squad, just trying to make plays in practice, you know, giving me that confidence and that belief. You know, I'm going against the one. So if I make a play, it's like, okay, that's a play I could make in a game against, you know, our starting offense. And it just gives you confidence. So, you know, those years, I just took the time to just craft, man. You craft, you stay down, you keep working, and eventually it all will pop. So that's just kind of how it happened with me. And like I said, when I think back on it, nothing but just, you know,
love it, man.
Gratefulness just comes over me, man. It's just like, man, this is just you know, it was wonderful. It's just, I can't even explain it now. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it.
Love it, man. Yeah. Love it. Love it.
Well, Pete Carroll must really trust you out there because – I mean, they've got you running every which way. They've got you in deep coverage. They've got you blitzing. I mean, you're all over the place. And I'm just wondering, like, when you're challenged by your coaches to do more, you know, it's not like you're just coming in spots. You're out there all the time. Do you respond better to that the more you're challenged?
Well, yeah, it all comes from just, like, the way I look at it is, you know, first of all, God would never put me in a situation that I wasn't prepared to handle. And it goes back to those years on practice squad and going from corner to safety. It gave me the confidence because I was honing those skills of being able to do whatever was required. So when they asked me to do something, it boosts my confidence because it's like, okay, they believe I can do it. I definitely believe I can do it. You know what I'm saying? I don't go, oh, man, that's a big – no, I can do that. I can definitely do it. And that's all part of showing, you know, showing the organization, showing myself, showing the world that I know I'm not just a fill-in. You know, I believe that I can play this game at a very high level, and then that goes back to just improving week to week and, you know, doing the best that I can. And then it also goes back to, you know what I'm saying, my brothers, when I'm out there and I tell them, when you see 35, I want them to know, like, no, we can play with this dude. He can play. I'm on his team. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the approach I have to, you know, whenever they ask me to do anything, I'm just like, no, I can do that. Yeah, I definitely can do that. So that's kind of how I approach it.
Well, Ryan, we're certainly rooting for you, not just because of your story, but you are just legitimately a fun player to watch, man. You do a great job out there.
You.
Best of luck this weekend. Go get them Sunday, okay?
Thank you. I will. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye. I love that guy.
You could have a whole team of Ryan Neals, and you'd be doing well. Yeah, he's got a great personality. He's got an older brother that played in the NFL for the Packers, and so just I love the story. The question you asked, Jake, you know, does he appreciate it more? Because, yeah, I mean, I think when you're chasing it for that long, you have as much adversity and you get cut and all that as he's had, it just makes it so much sweeter. So, I wish I had appreciated it more. I think I did. But, you know, the time that I did have in there, I guess now I think, man, what a great job. And I always tell the players, you know, don't think about retiring. It's no good on the outside.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, there were times,
yourself,
you know,
in a radio studio.
When I first got into this, Dave, you said, stay away from here. Go play. Go do something, you know. And it's one of the things that I can attest to with Ryan Neal and his mindset and his attitude, and I ask him that question, is because when you're on the fringe of things, you feel that finality to it. And some guys, they respond really, really well to it. And some guys are so worried about, oh, I need to do things right. I need to make a mistake. And the other way is how appreciative they are of the moment and love it and are like a kid enjoying every day. And so it just seems like Ryan is handling it the right way, handling that pressure and thriving in it.
An awesome way to end the show, to end today's huddle, you guys. Love that message, both from you and Jake and from Ryan. It's been fantastic. You can hear Dave later during Bob, Dave, and More. That's coming up at 3 p.m. today. Tom, Jake, and Stacy is next, so don't go anywhere. This has been The Huddle.